Imagine being part of an exclusive club so powerful that a single trade could collapse a nation's currency. This is the world of hedge funds, Wall Street's most mysterious investment vehicles that have grown from managing $38.9 billion in 1990 to over $2 trillion today. If mutual funds are commercial airliners, standardized, regulated, and accessible to everyone, hedge funds are private jets, exclusive, customizable, and designed for the wealthy. They pursue absolute returns, positive performance regardless of market conditions, rather than simply trying to beat benchmarks like the S&P 500. Operating with limited regulation, they can use powerful tools like short selling, leverage, often borrowing 3-4 times their capital, and complex derivatives that both amplify returns and magnify risks. The performance difference is striking. During the 2008 financial crisis, while markets plunged 55%, hedge funds declined just 22% on average. Over the longer term, $1,000 invested in hedge funds at the beginning of 2001 would have grown to $1,418.89 by the end of 2010, while the same amount in the S&P 500 would have shrunk to $920.67. This outperformance explains why institutions from university endowments to pension funds have dramatically increased their hedge fund allocations, with many now targeting 20-30% of their portfolios to alternative investments. The hedge fund industry began with an unlikely protagonist, A.W. Jones, a sociologist and former fortune writer who created the first hedge fund in 1949 with just $100,000. This former Marxism scholar established three revolutionary concepts: the 2-in-20 compensation model, 2% management fee plus 20% of profits, a secretive structure avoiding SEC regulation, and combining short selling with leverage to generate profits in any market condition. This approach yielded impressive returns, beating mutual funds by 87% over a decade and achieving a 5,000% cumulative return. Though many early imitators collapsed during the 1973-74 bear market, the industry revived in the 1980s with global macro strategies, exemplified by George Soros breaking the Bank of England in 1992 by shorting the pound and netting over $1 billion. By early 2000, the industry struggled as value strategies failed in the tech-saturated market. Just as hedge funds appeared doomed, institutional investors, led by Yale's David Swensen, injected massive capital. Taking an 80% pay cut from Wall Street, Swensen pioneered the university endowment model, generating $7.8 billion of Yale's $14 billion endowment from hedge funds by 2005. Hedge funds thrive by exploiting market inefficiencies, pricing discrepancies that shouldn't exist in perfectly efficient markets. Until the mid-1980s, conventional wisdom held that hedge fund performance resulted from luck rather than skill, based on Eugene Fama's efficient market theory. The market crash of October 1987, when prices dropped 22.5% in a single day, forced academics to reconsider. The explanation lies in human behavior. Investors are predictably irrational, swayed by emotions like greed and fear. Benjamin Graham's Mr. Market metaphor captures these emotional swings: a manic, depressive business partner whose offers reflect mood rather than true value. Ironically, Fama himself later discovered non-random market patterns traders could exploit. Hedge funds measure performance through alpha, returns generated purely through investment skill, uncorrelated to market movements. A fund with an alpha of 2 and beta of 0.5 would return 2% in a flat market and 7% in a 10% up market, 2% alpha plus 5% beta. Successful managers incorporate potential disruptions into their strategies while prioritizing capital preservation through careful risk management. Hedge funds deploy four main strategy categories: Long slash short equity involves buying undervalued stocks while shorting overvalued ones, aiming for long positions to rise and short positions to fall. Short selling requires borrowing stock, selling it, then repurchasing at a hopefully lower price, demanding investigative skills and precise timing. Relative value strategies profit from price differences between related securities rather than market direction. These pair trades involve simultaneously buying and selling correlated securities when their prices diverge, then profiting when they reconverge, such as buying Wyeth while shorting Pfizer based on comparative fundamentals. Event-driven strategies exploit pricing anomalies from corporate events like mergers or bankruptcies. For example, when a $10 stock receives a $20 acquisition offer, managers might buy shares expecting the price to rise to $16, potentially earning $4 per share if the deal succeeds. Directional strategies, including global macro funds, analyze worldwide economic trends to make leveraged bets on market movements without hedging market risk. These gained fame when George Soros broke the Bank of England in 1992 by shorting the pound. The 2-in-20 compensation structure, 2% management fee plus 20% of profits, has generated enormous wealth for managers and widespread criticism. Under this model, a $1 million investment yielding 20% would net the client $160,000 while paying the manager $60,000. Many funds use high watermarks to ensure managers only earn performance fees on new profits. Warren Buffett has called this arrangement grotesque, noting managers collect fees regardless of performance and profit, even from a rising tide. Managers justify these fees primarily through having significant personal capital invested, skin in the game, creating alignment with investors. Hedge funds maintain exclusivity through regulatory restrictions, requiring individual investors to have $1 million net worth or $200,000 plus annual income, while institutions need $5 million in assets. Ironically, these restrictions and the SEC's prohibition on advertising have enhanced hedge funds' appeal by creating an exclusive mystique. Funds of hedge funds create diversified portfolios across multiple hedge funds, balancing returns and risk while giving smaller investors access to professional management that would otherwise be unattainable. These managers function like conductors, assembling a dream team. Imagine a portfolio featuring Stephen Cohen, Daniel Loeb, and other stars. Their advantage comes from selecting the best managers without organizational constraints. The best fund-of-funds managers excel in three areas: macroeconomic understanding, creating dynamic model portfolios with optimal strategy mixes, and rigorously selecting top funds in each category. Key advantages include access to premier managers, typically requiring $10 million minimums, diversification across 30 to 50 managers, spanning different styles and regions, and professional monitoring. However, they charge an additional fee layer, 1 to 2%, beyond the underlying hedge funds' fees. The Madoff scandal damaged the industry's reputation when several prominent funds failed in their due diligence by allocating to his Ponzi scheme despite obvious red flags. Despite criticism, hedge funds thrive by delivering results in markets that reward effective thinking. The industry faces challenges: strategy vulnerabilities exposed by the 2007-2009 crisis, increased regulation under Dodd-Frank, better fee demands, and a crowded marketplace. Nevertheless, growth will likely continue as institutional investors seek diversification and downside protection. Analysis shows public pension funds could improve returns by approximately $13.67 billion annually with modest hedge fund allocations. The future favors adaptive firms that maintain performance. Large multi-strategy platforms with institutional-quality infrastructure will expand alongside specialized boutiques with genuine alpha-generating capabilities. Technology and quantitative approaches will grow increasingly important, though human judgment remains essential in unpredictable markets. Investors should conduct thorough due diligence, understand their risk tolerance, and view hedge funds as one component of a diversified portfolio.